Ramadan is coming up in a very short period of time. And what we're looking at today is how Bible translation work has been continuing in spite of the fact that there's been a huge rise in the extremist end of Islam and how much difficulty that has actually posed to the translation teams working in some of these high-risk areas. Today, we're speaking with Bruce Smith, President and CEO of Wycliffe Associates, to find out a little bit more about how creative technology actually works in creative access nations. Bruce, thanks so much for being with us today on Mission Network News.
Always a pleasure.
You know, as we look at what Ramadan is, it's a month-long period where the faithful Muslims are supposed to be basically taking their time to get right with God. And yet what we see often in the extremist areas where we what we call creative access nations is a spike in violence. Can you kind of explain the correlation there?
Well, for us, it's just part of the context that is the norm for our Bible translation team. So I can't really speak to why the violence would spike during Ramadan. For us, it tends to be unpredictable. And yet, at the same time, it's kind of chronic because there's definitely opposition between Christian minorities and Muslim majorities. So Bible translation teams that are working in that part of the world always have to be highly conscious of the security issues surrounding them, working as inconspicuously and as winsomely as possible. But yet what we find is that those translators are among the boldest in the world. They have the greatest risks. They understand those things because they're Muslim background believers themselves, and yet they persist and they move forward with Bible translation actively, proactively, because they see the desperation of the people around them, their neighbors and their family members without hope, and they desperately want to bring the good news of the gospel to them. And so for us, it turns out to be one of the most fruitful areas of Bible translation, despite the challenges.
You were mentioning something just a few seconds ago about Muslim background believers. You'd indicated that a lot of the people that you're working with on the translation teams are first-generation Muslim background believers?
Yeah, this is a story that may be told at some point in the future, but is mostly untold now, is that there's a huge turning of Muslims toward Christ in the past decade especially, and in the past two decades. Books are being written about it. There's being studies being done about it in mission circles. But the reality is that radical Islam is not an attractive ideology or philosophy. Sure, it has attracted additional radicals, and this is the part that the media, the mass media, focuses on. But in reality, life on the ground under that kind of political and religious authority is not pleasant at all, and it's driving people away from Islam in numbers that are unprecedented. And so within that movement, God has planted his seeds of the gospel, and that those seeds are bearing fruit. And so these first-generation believers are now translating scripture in their own communities. Obviously, we're not going to speak specifically about where they are for security reasons, but these are the people that know the language, know the culture, know the environment that surrounds them and their families, and see God's word as the only way out and the only way forward. And so there's an upsurge in interest in Bible translation in those arenas.
Yet in some of these areas that we're describing, to be holding a Bible or to be connected with a Bible basically paints a target on their back. How does Wycliffe Associates come alongside them to enable the translation work to go forward and still protect the identities of those that are involved?
Yeah, one of the simple ways is using mobile cellular phone technology. Cell phones are not just ubiquitous here in the West, but they're everywhere in the world these days. So having the ability to both publish scripture digitally so that they can access it through their phones, but also creating applications that allow them to interact in the translation process and even participate in drafting and checking scripture on their phones or other tablet-type computers or those kind of things is a strategy that we are continuing to expand. and is gaining traction in a lot of these parts of the world. Everybody has a cell phone. Tablet computers are becoming more and more common around the world. These kind of devices allow people to participate by, in a sense, hiding in plain sight because nobody is suspicious of what's going on because others are doing the same kind of thing. So this kind of technology is reducing the risk for people that are working in these kind of difficult areas.
What about the Bible translation acceleration kits? Why were those developed?
Yeah, initially, they were developed because there were a lot of delays in the translation process between translators working in isolated areas where they don't have good power supply, they don't have good communications, and Bible translation acceleration kits solve both of those problems with solar power and an internet connection that works through satellite that then connects that remote team to consultants and resources that are far distant and enables them to get over translation challenges and keep moving forward with the translation. So initially it was a matter of trying to overcome these physical and geographic obstacles. But what we quickly found is that because of the portability of this kind of equipment, it also allowed people that are in areas that are unstable and where civil unrest, political, religious unrest pops up unpredictably, they can pack these things into a backpack, hike across the mountains, and continue their work in a neighboring village or a nearby area without being disrupted in their work. So its portability has become sort of a blessing that we didn't anticipate, but has enabled Bible translation to continue in some very difficult circumstances.
So let's kind of connect all of the dots here. As we are asking believers to consider their response during Ramadan, what would you ask them to be doing in response to some of the things we've talked about in this interview?
I think the first thing is to look at this as a huge opportunity instead of a threat. Obviously, it is both. But what we see is that using these kind of technologies and creative strategies, working with believers that are in these areas, that Bible translation, discipleship, evangelism, all of these things, church planting, church growth, all of these things are developing beyond our horizon, beyond our view, and to take an optimistic and a faith sort of filled approach towards how we view this part of the world and these kinds of events. So use these as a reminder to pray. Use them, integrate them into our own stewardship of how we support the work of the church around the world, and consider the possible ways that our skill sets might contribute to the teamwork that enables these kinds of strategies to go forward. We're always involving Christian professionals in service opportunities both here in the U.S. and around the world, despite these kind of challenges. And all of these things create a huge opportunity for us to be a part of what God is doing in the world today.
Again, we've been speaking with Bruce Smith, who's president and CEO of Wycliffe Associates, just talking a little bit about some creative ways Wycliffe Associates has been coming alongside Bible translation work in some very creative access nations during trying times. If you want to know more about how you can come alongside Wycliffe Associates to really come alongside and partner with the Indigenous Church, check it out through their website, wycliffeassociates.org. That's wycliffeassociates.org. Bruce, thanks so much for being with us today on Mission Network News.
We'll stay in touch.